Hey, welcome in. We're going to talk Razorback softball today. Ethan Westerman in studio back from Norman over the weekend. We'll talk about that big series between the Razorbacks and the Sooners. I want to tell you that the show is brought to you by Eglin's Best. When it comes to your game day, you want the best in your lineup. That includes your eggs. Eglin's Best delivers more the nutrition you need with 6 times more vitamin D and 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. You can score now with Eglin's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Visit eglinsbest.com. For more information, also brought to you by Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. They're committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas, looking for skilled craftsmanship, you look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at BentonvilleGlass.com. Appreciate you joining us wherever you're watching. Would you click subscribe? That would help us out. We're on YouTube. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Maybe you're watching us on one of our social media channels, Facebook or Twitter. Appreciate you being with us. We'll get to Razorback softball here in just a second. Arkansas baseball playing tonight against Missouri State over at Baum Walker Stadium. A 6 o'clock first pitch. This is a rematch of a game that was played 3 weeks ago up in Springfield when Missouri State won 15-14 in 10 innings. If you look back over the last two meetings between these two teams, it's been basically the same game. It's been different, but it's kind of had the same ending, where last year Missouri State had a 5-run rally in the ninth, and they tie the game. And then in the 10th, they hit a go-ahead home run, and they win 14-13 in 10 innings. Well, this year, they hit a 2-run home run in the ninth to tie the game. And then they're the home team, so when they hit the home run in the 10th inning, they walked Arkansas off 15-14. Joey Hawkins, the Missouri State coach, saying recently that anytime they play a power team, they got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. And, you know, if you go back, and we've talked about this a little bit with Missouri State in the past, like, this is a rivalry. You know, I know they only play maybe once or twice a year in their Tuesday night games, and it's not got the same maybe flair or pageantry, and certainly not the same pitchers as you would see if you were playing, say, LSU or Ole Miss or somebody like that on a year-in and year-out basis on the weekend. But Arkansas, they got to be prepared and buckled up tonight, Ethan, with Missouri State coming to town, because Missouri State, they're fighting for their, you know, they're in an interesting situation. They're second in a good league in the Conference USA, but is that a two-bid league this year? I don't know. And so those teams that are in the conference race but kind of have to be really reliant on how the conference tournament goes, they're looking for these resume wins wherever they can find them.
Yeah, and in sports like baseball, I mean, it's rivalries can form against teams that you would never be your rival in football or men's basketball. It's just like, because there's so many mid-majors that, I mean, for instance, the same way that Gonzaga basketballs, I'm not comparing Missouri State baseball to Gonzaga basketball, but you can have smaller programs that really invest in baseball and softball, and it becomes one of their top sports, and all of a sudden, you know, they can beat an elite program on any given night just because they've built it up that way to where they can hang with some of the top teams. And baseball's a weird sport where, you know, on any given night, you know, somebody can win. That's why series are important, because you get a bigger sample size.
Yeah, well, and it's why you shouldn't, if you're a voter, say like in the coaches poll, pay too much attention to like the outcome of one game. I keep going back to this, that I think that there was a lot of sticker shock to Arkansas losing to Georgia the way they did in that last game. And it really, I think, it really reinforces this notion that I have, that the people who vote in the polls, a lot of them are just scoreboard gazing. You know, they're not actually going through and pulling up a box score and saying, oh, well, that's, you know, that explains it. Like, if you look at the Arkansas-Georgia series, that was a great series, good series, for 26 innings, competitive series. I guess that's where I'm going with that. Arkansas wins game one, close game. Georgia wins a close game two. And it's a close, competitive game going into the ninth inning, and then Georgia drops the sledgehammer, and they end up winning by 12 runs. But I think if it's a 15-11 game, which was a score going into the ninth inning, does Arkansas fall 7 spots in the coaches poll? I doubt it. I think that, you know, most of them say, oh, well, you know, they lost 2 close games to the number 5 team in the country. No real shame in that.
Yeah, and it's, I think a lot of times in these coaches polls, maybe there are a few coaches out there that legitimately do care, and they take the time and do their research, and they really love their poll vote. I think a lot of times this gets, you know, kind of
dumped off to
dumped
the SID.
Off to the SID, yep. And maybe they don't. I mean, these are busy people, and they.
Yeah. Even the SIDs, they're as busy as the coaches in a lot of cases, if not more busy,
and
with all the things that are on their plate.
A similar thing happened actually with softball. They, I know we'll get into that. They went to Oklahoma and lost a series there. I mean, it was 14 very competitive innings. They were a base hit. Getting through, by the second baseman in the first game away from tying it up, and maybe having a chance to win the series, but they fall from number 8 to number 9 in the coaches' poll after going to OU and winning a game
where nobody ever wins,
winning in just because they got beat 11-1 in the last game, mm-hmm. in a game where we'll get into this. I'm sure, like the strike zone gave them zero chance, but. And OU's a phenomenal team, and they very well could have beat Arkansas that day with a better strike zone too. But like you use one game and you all of a sudden dump a team a spot in the coaches' poll. It just seems pretty lack of maybe context,
mm-hmm.
With the whole series.
That happens a lot. One more note on baseball, and we're gonna move over to softball. The wind's blowing in today. So it's going to make a bigger ballpark at Baum than what we saw Saturday when Georgia hit all those home runs. And I said this yesterday, like there weren't a whole lot of cheap home runs that Georgia hit. Most of those are going to be out, I think, on any day or on a regular day. But, there were some wind-aided home runs that helped elevate and inflate, those home run numbers. And I think we all knew what was going to happen going to the ballpark on Saturday. You see the wind blowing straight out at a baseball stadium with a game 3 pitching and power bats like Georgia has in its lineup. It felt kind of inevitable,
yeah.
that's what was going to happen. And by the way, Missouri State, they've had the second best offensive numbers against Arkansas this year. They hit 4 home runs, 4 doubles, scored 15 runs, got a couple of unearned runs on errors up in Springfield a few weeks back. But, they're one of the best power teams in the country, too. They're top 10 in doubles, top 10 in home runs. I think they might be 11th in scoring. They're, high batting average, .311 batting average. This is a big offensive team. But that game in Springfield, wind was blowing out. Wind's blowing in tonight. Makes it a little bit more advantageous to pitchers than hitters.
Yeah, wind changes so much just in games.
People
get so
upset when we talk about the wind and baseball and just the weather in baseball. But, man, it can have a huge influence on the outcome of a game. No different than a bad umpire behind the plate.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. Missouri State's 7th in slugging percentage in the nation. And
I think
Georgia's number one.
I think Missouri State – I saw something in their game notes the other day. I don't have them open here. But I think I saw that they were the number one team this year in barrel percentage. So, basically, they're the number one contact team in the country. You're not going to strike them out a whole lot.
Yeah.
Arkansas is going to throw Tate McGuire tonight, and he's going to be the Razorback starter. I would expect that he'll be on a fairly minimal pitch count to try to keep him ready for the weekend when the Razorbacks go to Missouri. And I say the weekend, the series starts in Missouri on Thursday night up in Columbia. All right, softball. Where to begin? I think that if you look at the series in Norman, and you were there, it felt to me when they lost game one after having the big lead, and I say a big lead, what was it, 4-0?
That's a big
lead against OU. Yeah. I mean, that's like
it was tied for the biggest lead of the season any team had had on.
That's amazing. But they lose the lead. Oklahoma hits a grand slam. I think Arkansas went back up, and then it was kind of back and forth a little bit. And OU ended up winning that game. That to me felt like, okay, when you lose game one to Oklahoma, when you lose game one to anybody, it's an uphill climb. But when you lose to them game one on their home field, where they'd won 31 in a row at that point, it was going to be tough for Arkansas to win the series.
Yeah, and especially after you talk about the sequence that Arkansas goes up 4-0, they hit a grand slam to tie it up. Arkansas goes back ahead 5-4 on a solo home run by Ella McDowell, and then the next at bat, Dakota Kennedy is hustling, trying to make it to first base on what's going to clearly be an out. She
mm-hmm.
just rolled it to the first baseman, but she's hustling, doing what you're supposed to do, tries to avoid the tag because it was kind of an awkward play, and she lands awkwardly on her plant foot, her left knee kind of buckles or whatever, and she's down on the ground, and that is your, should be all SEC, like, who knows how this goes if she can't come back and play. We don't know her status, but, like, mm-hmm. she is pretty much shoo-in for all SEC right now. she's an All-American. That is one of your stars. That took a lot out of them emotionally, I think, in that game. Oklahoma goes back ahead 8-5 with a couple, innings that they score in. And then Arkansas showed some fight and almost tied it up in the last inning. Hard hit ball to end the game. Their second baseman just did a good job to field it. Or else the rally might have kept going. But yeah, it was going to be an uphill climb for them to come back and even win a game in this series, especially just that emotional toll of watching one of your players go down takes a lot out of them. But they fought on Saturday, and it took everything they had Saturday. But And then Sunday just got away from them.
Yeah, they won the game 3-2 on Saturday, lost 11-1 in the finale. You know, it's one of those deals where it probably can be looked at like kind of like a moral victory. You go to OU and you win 1-3. But I kind of think that's where you're at when you're trying to compare yourself to Oklahoma and all of the success that Oklahoma's had. And not only that, but like the success that Oklahoma's had against Arkansas. Arkansas's had a number of teams that have played OU, some teams that I think Arkansas thought might have a chance to beat them, whether it be the Super Regional over there in 2018, maybe it's the series here last year, the SEC tournament last year when OU broke their hearts down in Athens. I think just getting that one win was a big deal for the softball program and their confidence that, hey, this is moving in the right direction. You're not where you need to be to beat that team in a series yet, although they were very close, very close. But I think getting that one win is a big deal for them, a big, one of those stepping stone type moments.
Yeah, really nobody goes to Norman and wins series. Like, that's just, they just, all they do is win at home. And just to even get that one win in the series was pretty big. I mean, it snapped. They had not lost any home game since the March the previous year facing the SEC Pitcher of the Year.
31 games in a row.
31 games in a row. But they had, I don't know the last time they lost a home series.
Probably like the Reagan administration.
Yeah, just to lose a home game is pretty crazy for them. But and Arkansas had a chance to win the series. I think maybe if you play them in Fayetteville, does it go differently? If you play them, the wind was crazy out there, blowing out like pretty much all weekend. And Oklahoma's a team that they don't need any extra help from the wind. Like, I mean, they're going to probably get it out of there with the wind blowing in. But it just. I don't know. They were right there with them and just could not get that game one win that would have gave them the series. But they I think, proved to me they can compete with them. I know the last game that was ugly. But I take into account more of the series as a whole. And for most of the series, they were right there with them.
We were talking about the similarities of game three between baseball and Georgia and game three softball and OU, where you've got a plate umpire in both games that's not giving the pitchers the corners. And you got the wind blowing out, and you've got a power-hitting team that's what they're looking for when you got to put the ball right over the top of the plate. And I don't think it matters, like who's pitching. When you got to put the ball over the plate and you've got good hitters and they've got wind, that can make a huge difference. And I thought that there were a lot of similarities there in those finales.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, Arkansas manufactured one run in its finale against OU again, and then you had the same umpire, obviously, but they – and because Alyssa Parker, the OU pitcher, just did a great job. So I'm not saying Arkansas wins that game with a different home plate umpire.
Mm-hmm.
I do think it looks different, though, because what happened was they could not get those calls early. And against OU, if you get down big, it's a real uphill climb. Yeah,
it's like
and
a freight
I think
train.
That, I about to say, I think it changed the whole momentum of the game very early because Robin Heron in the first inning gets out of that. If she gets what looked like a strike called, but, it's a walk, and next thing you know, they have a two-out home run. And then it happened again where it was like she couldn't get out of innings because she wasn't getting strike calls. Then it's like, where else do you want her to – does she have to put it right over the plate against an OU team that if you look at their heat map, they just if you throw it right over the plate they're going to demolish it and it's like that's what you had to do against them with this umpires. You had to put it right there just on the platter for them, and I just think that it really frustrated Arkansas early. That's where they got to do a better job, I think, controlling their emotions, maybe, is far as like bounce back and at least take care of it on, like, you know, whenever you're up to bat. Mm-hmm. I think that they let their emotions maybe get to them too much as far as just seeing what was not getting called. And, you know, you face a big deficit early against OU. And I just think it frustrated them, and you could see it. But it's the last thing that OU needs, because they're going to they make good pitchers look bad routinely, is to where the only thing that's a strike has got to be something very hittable for them.
Yep, and they got a lot of those.
It's a problem in the sport right now in softball. You'll hear Courtney's talked about it at length. Like, it is it's a hard time for a pitcher right now, because it's like they have tightened the zone in softball because everybody loves the home run. Everybody loves, you know, I guess it's good for the sport to see demolishing home runs, but pitchers just cannot get calls anymore. Like, you can't even nibble anymore. Like, and try and, like, because it's going to get called a ball. You have to. And that's what makes it more impressive when you have a pitcher who's killing it right now, because it's hard to do. And I think that they really have got to look at it. Courtney said they also need to look at, if this is how they're going to, you know, call the strike zone now, they've got to look at the run rule, because 8 runs isn't what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't shock me if either they look at how they're calling balls and strikes before next year, or change the run rule to 10.
Can I make a request?
What's that?
For what softball does? Have the plate umpires call strikes faster.
Oh, my god!
It drives me crazy in that sport. Yeah. How, like players will be running off the field on a called third strike to end an inning before the guy ever puts his arm up and says that's a strike.
That happened to Arkansas. This was part of the frustrating sequence, right? They aren't getting these close, what looks like strike calls with Robin, and you even see her, like, lean back, like, oh, my gosh, because she thought she got a strikeout, and see him walk. And then Kennedy Miller, I think the next inning, had what looked like a ball four to go walk, and she starts to head that way, and then very delayed strike call, and it was like probably a ball.
Yeah.
I think that sort of stuff really frustrated them early. Courtney was not happy with the home plate umpire. I knew, you know, like, you could see it happening in the dugout during it, and I was like, oh, once this inning ends, he's going to get an earful, and he sure did.
Well, it's like when the catcher's in the dugout before you call your strike. –
Yeah.
This is a little too delayed.
Yeah.
I guess I better call this a strike since they've already ran off the field.
And also, softball, baseball are very different, just how they show their emotions, the player. Like, what's more acceptable? There's a lot of debate right now about, like, people toning down maybe some of these.
Well, OU's at the center of it, right?
And they're at the center of it. And they're the ones who got really frustrated at Texas walking
for
them
doing
off.
What OU does.
But, like, they're the ones to an extent. If you're not getting the strike calls on the borderlines, if you're Robin, and then these OU players are, like, throwing their bat down to go head to first on the walk and, like, trying to, and firing up the crowd, like, they it just, you're in a hostile environment, you're already frustrated. I think stuff just piled up, and that last game was not indicative of how the series was for the most part. But they got to look at the strike zone. It's not good right now, and it's not good, and it's not consistent. That's the problem. If you're gonna make it a tight zone, at least be consistent with it. It's not very consistent, and there's been a lot of talk about it. I know within, like, pros and stuff, like, I've been seeing a lot of pro softball pitchers saying, like, I would hate to be a college pitcher right now because you just aren't getting anything.
So one thing that I think is happening with a lot of sports with the Razorbacks is that you're expecting, or let me back up. There is an expectation, because of a long track record, to win at a certain level, when I don't think the sports are getting the same support at the administrative level, say at Arkansas, as they might be at the programs that are doing the best. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, I don't think Arkansas baseball is getting funded at the same level that some of the teams that it's competing against are. I don't know that there's the same, you know, institutional measures that are in place from school to school. In fact, I know there's not. Now, from a softball perspective, what makes me say this is that, you know, from a softball perspective, there's the expectation, because Arkansas has been so good for the last 7-8 years now under Dyfel, that they're going to compete to go to a College World Series. And I think they're going to. They're going to be in the conversation for that certainly this year, probably a national seed, and they don't ever have to leave home before Oklahoma City. But all of that said, when you go to a place like OU and you see this stadium, $42 million is what they spent to build Love's Field, the new softball stadium there, which I think is what, in its second, third year?
Yeah, 2024 seasons.
Okay, so third year. Boy, you see that and you go, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You see Oklahoma's football stadium and you're saying, okay, this is what it looks like to be totally invested. And yeah, like this is what it looks like to be a big time program. And then you come back here and say, hey, look, they're trying, but they got a long way to go to be able to get to the teams that are doing it at the highest level.
Yeah. And it's so funny because like you go to Bogle and then you go to, let's just say crapping, I guess, on some random program, Kentucky.
Okay.
You go to Kentucky softball stadium and you're like, oh my goodness, Arkansas set the bar so high. This is so much nicer. And then you go to Oklahoma and you're like, oh my goodness, Arkansas has so far to go. Oklahoma, which Oklahoma is the bar in softball. It just is. But it did.
They care
about
softball at a level that nobody else
does.
Their
baseball stadium is across the street. Yeah, and I'm having to walk by it. And they're playing, I get it, it's Missouri baseball. It's not going to be a big draw for, I mean, people probably still pack bomb and whatever for.
Well, and Mitchell Park has been pretty run down for a while.
But people, and they share the same parking lot at the Lloyd Noble Center. A lot of people park there, and people are walking over to softball while the baseball stadium is pretty empty. And I think that that's what they get because that's how they've decided to prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know how big of a priority Oklahoma baseball is. I'm sure they seem to care a lot about all their sports as far as like the facilities are pretty nice across the board. Lloyd Noble could use some help, I think. But you get what you invest in, and you can tell they've invested in softball. And I just left that ballpark knowing what Patty Gasso asked for, she's going to get here. That's they care about it, and she's going to get it. And I think that there's, like, Arkansas, what's hard is, you know, they've built this up. They've built a product. They have coaches in place. They are going to win games with these coaches so long as they have an even enough playing field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, that boils down to the question of, like, can you be good enough with what programs will choose to invest in softball where you're still going to be at the top because nobody's really investing the way OU does. So you can be at the top, but maybe you'll just never get to be elite.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be consistently in the conversation, but the gap between number one and number 7-8 is just enormous. Is that going to be the case? Because you get the sense that OU, I mean, they've got it built up there. They're not going anywhere. If I'm a recruit and I go to those facilities and see all the history and all the, you know, pageantry they have around it, you're already at an advantage. And I thought the same thing walking by their football stadium. If I'm a recruit, I get all big-eyed seeing just the way that they've displayed their program's history. And I'm not saying like obviously you're at an advantage if you have that history that you can showcase, you know, compared to a program that doesn't, but like do what you can with what you have. Like make sure Darren McFadden is all over everything.
Make sure your awards are not tucked away at a warehouse in Rogers.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, make use of what you do have as to the best of your ability to showcase it, because I just think you walk in there. I walked past Memorial Stadium at OU, and I was like, oh, wow. They are really proud of what they've built here.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they had it. You could tell they've done a lot of renovations since they joined the SEC, too, because they had just plastered all over stuff, like the SEC logo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they wanted to, I don't know, doll up the stadium before
they get paid for that.
Yeah, but they you walk around these statues of, you know, Barry Switzer and Bob Stoops and
Billy Sims.
And then you walk past Heisman Row and you walk past Jason Witten's statue. And
Jason Witten? He was Tennessee.
Or not Jason Witten. The tight end. They have a tight end there that they had a statue of.
Is it Keith Jackson?
Maybe. I don't know why. Jason Witten's on their football staff right now.
Is he really?
Yeah, he
I
just
thought he
got,
was coaching. I thought he was coaching high school football in Texas.
No. That's why I got Jason Witten confused.
Okay.
I
don't know if it'd be a Keith Jackson statue.
Yeah, he's the current tight ends coach for the Oklahoma Sooners. They had a statue of some tight end that I walked by, and then they had their high
school. That would be a heck of a recruiting draw. Like when you're going for a coach, if you come here and be an assistant, we will build a statue of you.
Yeah. Oh. These are, okay, the Heisman, this is why I got Jason Witten confused.
Okay.
They're Heisman winners that they have Heisman Row with statues. Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Sam Bradford, Jason White.
Jason White, yeah, that's a little bit, I watched Jason White. That's a little bit different than Jason Witten. Same era, very different players.
Billy Sims, Steve Owens, Billy Vessels. So I'm counting 7 Heisman winners that they have Heisman Row. And I get it. You can only have a Heisman Row if you have Heisman winners. But it is cool to see how these stadiums, like, build up what they do have. But yeah, no, Jason Witten is just their tight end.
You may be
coach.
The first person in the history of football who has like mixed up Jason Witten and Jason White.
Listen, I do feel validated that Jason Witten is currently their tight ends coach. I knew that there's some Jason Witten OU
Jason connection.
Where did he played at Tennessee?
He played at Tennessee. Jason Witten caught the touchdown in the sixth overtime that beat Arkansas in 2002 in Knoxville.
See,
41-38.
I'm not calling you old, but a bit younger than you, and so I only know Jason Witten Cowboys.
Yeah, no, that was my first recollection of Jason Witten was him catching that touchdown, and then of course being a big Cowboys fan, came to really love Jason Witten.
Jason White has a statue, and they also definitely have a statue of some tight end. I feel like, because I was like, oh,
well, Keith Jackson's one of the great tight ends they have, but I've never heard of him having a statue at OU.
If there's if this isn't a tight end, it's somebody that built like a tight end.
Okay. All right.
At least according to the statue.
Yeah.
How the statue is built.
Yeah, Billy Sims, he was built like a tight end.
All this rabbit to chase saying they do a good job over there at OU of celebrating their history.
What I was going to say was, you know, I really hope that as teams continue to just dump, you know, truckloads of money into football and to a lesser extent basketball, that some of these sports or these programs, whether it be OU softball, Arkansas track and field, North Carolina soccer, you go down the list, like these teams that have just perennially been great, like coach after coach, generation after generation. I really hope that doesn't get lost, because I do think that there is a danger of that happening to some of these programs that are really good in the I hate to say non-revenue producing sports, because they all produce revenue. Even Arkansas tennis produced $82 in revenue, as we found out earlier this year. But the sports that don't operate in the black.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those deals too where you're already like you have clearly a winning something in place to where you're winning games, and you can't expect that's going to be enough to continue to carry you in this era. Because people can pass. That's the thing. People can pass you if they do choose to care.
Yep.
And that's where it gets hard.
Yep.
If you are like saying, okay, we think you can still beat these people that are going to invest in it more just because y'all are that good at what you do. I'm not sure that mentality can work.
And I think it gets frustrating for coaches who say, we were here 6 years ago, 5 years, whatever, and now, like in terms of hierarchy and pecking order and things that we could do, and now we fall into this point, but the expectations are still for us to be up here.
Yeah, and also whenever you look at it from the perspective of people can pass you, but then you know, like, oh, we've done this without really anything. We were just able to do this ourselves. If we did get the funding that we need, we could take us from here to, like, just knowing that the potential could be there to elevate things.
People don't forget how to coach.
Yeah.
But, you know, as John Calipari likes to say, administrations win championships.
Yeah.
Coaches win games. And I think there's a lot of – I really do think there's a lot of truth to that. Softball goes to Tulsa tomorrow night. TU, kind of a sneaky good softball program. I don't know that they're as good this year. Yeah. But that can be a tough place to play.
Yeah, I mean, the last time they played Tulsa was over at the Stillwater Regional in 2019. And that ended their season, I believe, losing to them. But they've gone over there quite a bit for some fall stuff. They played Tulsa. I mean, you play teams regionally in the fall quite a bit. But I think it's a good game for them to have added. They added it last week because they lost at least one non-conference game due to weather. And so you're already, you know, you want to play the amount of games that you set out to play in a year. But also, Tulsa has a really good non-conference strength of schedule. They don't have a great record this year, but their RPI is actually decent, like in low 100s or high 100s, but they have a really good strength of schedule. And if you go on the road and play a team like that, I think it does help your RPI. If you were to go in there and let's say run rule them like Arkansas does a lot of times this year against teams it has an advantage against, I think that it could potentially be a good RPI game. And it's also just a good makeup game across the board. Also, I do think that it's good for them, I think, to play this soon after that Oklahoma series, just to get maybe the taste of that, how that last game went.
And not have to wait until the weekend.
Not have to wait till the weekend. And there's going to be a lot else going on in Fayetteville that weekend. And it's going to be it's their last regular season home series. Obviously, they're going to want to play well in that. They might, you know, bring in some of the fans that are going to go to the spring football game after. Like, they're going to want to look good at home, and I think that it could be a good way to recalibrate before that.
Missouri comes in here this weekend, then Arkansas finishes the regular season with Texas. Then they go down to the SEC tournament,
which is going
to, I guess, up to the SEC tournament would be the correct way to divert your eyes. The SEC, by the way, let's get out here on this. The SEC announced that they're going to move the SEC tournament to a single site. Does this begin in 2027 in Alabama?
Yeah, so this is
Madison,
the last
Alabama,
one.
Which is a suburb of Huntsville.
Yeah, this is the last time that they're going to do the rotating campuses. I personally don't like the move. I like the idea. I don't like the
execution.
The execution of converting. There's multiple reasons I don't like it. I think it looks kind of silly to have to bring in like a chain link outfield wall or something.
Because this is going to be in a minor league baseball stadium where they're going to be playing this.
And if they can pull this off and make it look really great, then, you know, wow me. I just think that's asking a lot of also the grounds crew they're in the middle of their season.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have to like redo the infield. I shouldn't be like too concerned about the Trash Pandas grounds crew. But
Rocket City Trash Pandas.
Yeah, I shouldn't be like.
Who, by the way, are the AA affiliate of the LA Angels. The Angels left the Travelers to go be the Trash Pandas.
Look at that. But I think that it's like doing this in the middle of a baseball season. I get it. You want more fans in the stands to watch this. There are softball stadiums that can seat like in the SEC footprint. Like,
isn't there one in Oklahoma City?
There happens to be one that's pretty big in Oklahoma City. Like, there are softball stadiums, and Love's Field, like, yeah, you could get a good crowds there. I just think that doing this in Alabama, maybe it's more centralized than, and people, there's a big debate of if they should play the World Series that close to OU. Like, how it's not fair that OU basically gets home games, but like, hey,
that's how it is.
That decided to invest in this and build a stadium that's suited for an event like this. Like, what do you want them to do? Go play this at a smaller ballpark and
let's go put this in Montana.
Yeah, it's like play your national championship in the best stadium in the world. Because
it'd be like complaining if Nebraska got really good at baseball, which by the way they have. they've gotten pretty good here the last couple of years.
It's like, what's wrong in softball? I mean, I think it's even a bigger difference than that with softball. Just the fact that this Devon Park. Let's see. Capacity. Where they play the World Series has a capacity of 13,000. For perspective, Love's Field, where they just
played. At
yes.
Oh, I thought it was bigger than that.
Well, it's 9,000 permanent seats, 4,000 temporary seats added to the outfield. So, for perspective, where they just played at OU, seats like 4,500.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you not play your World Series at this park that can seat this many and they actually sell it out and it gets packed for it? Why would you want to go play that at... And Bogle's, like, I think 3,200 is the listed capacity. You can go over that with the berm. But it's like, this is a huge softball stadium that is built for softball. Like, play your games there.
The SEC tournament came to Fayetteville a few years back. That was a big deal. Like there was a lot of interest in it locally.
Yeah. It also forces these programs, like, their hand a little bit to make their place a little nicer.
Yep.
And I thought it, like, you know, I just think it was actually kind of a cool deal to go campus to campus. I'm not saying that I was actually starting to make the argument that I think it'd be cool if baseball did that. Hmm. Like, the SEC tournament comes to BOM this year.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, I think it's kind of cool that the city, it's like each city got to kind of
put on
for this event.
I thought the SEC baseball tournament ought to rotate between the minor league parks that are in the footprint. You know, like, take it down to Pensacola for a year, take it to New Orleans, take it to Frisco, take it to Oklahoma City, take it to Memphis. That would be a neat deal to me, but they're not going to do it. Greg Sankey, since he's become the commissioner, he wants to have one city be the location, like the destination for everybody to go. He wants football to be Atlanta, which it's been that way forever. Some questions about whether or not that's going to, you know, last in the upcoming playoff era. But, you know, he wants basketball to be Nashville, or women's basketball to be Greenville, or baseball to be Hoover. This is what he wants.
And here's my thing. So it's like, you want almost kind of like the capital of SEC basketball to be Nashville. Cool. Why is the capital of SEC softball need to be Madison, Alabama? Like, why?
Yeah.
And that's my
home of the Trash Pandas.
And it's funny that these things are coming into place at a time whenever coaches are being more outspoken than ever about how, like, conference tournaments can kind of sometimes be terrible. Like, they don't love them.
They're terrible.
And so it's like trying to make them a bigger, it's like they're trying to make them a bigger deal now and make it a big, you know,
when they ought event. To be de-emphasized.
It's like the emphasis, making the emphasis go up about this event whenever coaches kind of feel opposite about it. And I do think, like, you mentioned the SEC football championships in Atlanta. People can make the argument Georgia's there all the time.
I've seen Arkansas play Georgia there, and I've seen Arkansas play Florida there twice.
Yeah.
It's highly disadvantageous to, in the old days, the Western Division team, unless it was Alabama or Auburn, because they're right there. Yeah. Like, it was always so tilted toward the Eastern Division team in the stands.
How do you think the SEC Women's Basketball Championship in Greenville, South Carolina looks for the title game all the time?
Probably
Garnet.
Pretty garnet and black.
Why do we care if the softball tournament's in Oklahoma City? Like, clearly with these other sports, you don't
That's
mind.
A good point.
It's like, play it at the best stadium that is built for the sport. I don't know. I like the idea of them moving it to one location if they're going to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't. Maybe I'll probably ask Courtney Dyfel about it this week, her thoughts on it, and I'd be curious to see if this is something that softball coaches share or if it's just me being an angry person looking for reasons
In my experience is that the rules that get passed can sometimes fly in the face of what the coaches actually want. You know, like, remember when the baseball coaches, they were unanimous and said, we want to keep divisions.
Yeah.
Their ADs voted a different way. It's
they look at the dollar.
Oh, I know.
And it's funny because, like, I would also love to hear Patty Gasso's opinion as, like, I think she's pretty a pretty softball purist as far as playing. I would assume she'll want games at a softball stadium. Yeah. But the OU reporter's like, that's a great Tuesday Patty question. So maybe we'll hear something there too.
All right. Ethan Westerman covers softball for us at wholehogsports.com. You can read all of his coverage there, of course. Or as we said, Tulsa on Wednesday night. The Razorbacks will be in action. I believe that game is at 5 o'clock over in 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock start time in Tulsa. And then this weekend they'll be playing Missouri at Bogle Park on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The Friday and Sunday games will be on SEC Network Plus. Saturday game will be at 11 o'clock a.m. on SEC Network before the spring football game on campus. Again, appreciate you being here. Hope that you'll subscribe to our podcast. You can find us on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on our social media channels. We post them every day. Just search Whole Hog Sports and you'll find us. Subscribe there. Come to our website, wholehogsports.com. We'll see you tomorrow.